Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Everybody, what's going on? It's episode 102 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. We're back here after a few week hiatus. We had a bunch of cool episodes for you, but now we're here back, kind of live, kind of not. Still same old deals.
Our time off was completely seamless.
I think so, too. And you hear Jeff DeAngelis. And Doyle's also here as well. Just us three tonight as we discuss all things mostly not related to Flyers hockey. It's summertime.
Big news.
A couple tidbits here and there. But I want to thank...
Big news.
I guess we could thank everybody through...
Marginal news.
I guess we could thank everybody. You're a marginal idiot. I guess we could thank everybody that really... tuned into episode 100, both parts.
Yes, thank
you. Got a lot of
that
feedback from that. And also people that showed up to the episode 101 at
all
the Philly Podcast.
All 30,002 of you. Thank
you. Just like
coming.
Interrupting you in the middle of you trying to talk.
That's okay. It's fine.
Because then you lose track of what you're trying to do.
God!
Big thanks to Jesse for coming out, too.
Yeah, it was great. Messing around with the locals.
Yeah.
Good job, Jesse, as usual. Are you still playing Diablo 3 right now?
I may be. I don't know.
Jesus fucking Christ. Why are you interrupting me while you're playing Diablo 3? Just shut the hell up and play your game. Let me and Doyle do the talking.
Oh, my God. I'm bringing more to this conversation than you ever will.
So, guys, we're back here after a few weeks off. It's going to be a good time. We have a few weeks of summer left. We have Eagles training camp kicking off. Already kicked off, I'm sorry.
And preseason starts tonight.
It starts tonight?
Yeah. Well, right. When they'll be listening to it.
So, you guys, I have a question.
Sorry, what did I miss? I want to watch it tonight.
I have a question. You guys are more Eagles fans than I am. Would you go to the open practices?
Would I go?
Because I heard like 30,000 people went.
Yeah, they did.
That's more 20, than, that's more people that go before. To Phillies games.
Yeah, so? And your point is? Yeah,
it's just practice.
Speaking of which, I went to a Phillies game a couple weeks ago. Awesome.
Talking about practice.
The Phillies were awesome. I had a sweet
The Phillies slam. Are terrible, but... Did you pay for those tickets?
No, they were free. So
see, I would go.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Phillies game. I had to pay for.
Yeah, I would go. I would do that. I mean, I would go to a Phillies game like now. I mean, they've been playing better, but I don't know. I've always rather go to a game than just watch it on TV.
Yes, especially because baseball is way more interesting when you don't have the option to change the channel.
Yeah, or play Steely Dan in the background.
Or play Steely Dan in the background.
Or Diablo 3.
Oh, wait, is that this podcast or baseball? I can't tell because Jeff is over here.
Oh, my God, I'm bringing so much to this podcast.
Why are you wearing a long sleeve shirt in August? Why bother me?
I'm really sensitive about my arms.
He always wears.
Is that burgundy?
Yes, Ron Burgundy.
You look like a failed librarian.
Failed librarian.
I don't get you. It.
I wonder how someone fails as a librarian.
Well, look, you're looking right at him, folks.
You don't know the alphabets. You can't put books away.
You don't know
the
how.
Dewey Decimal
Yeah, you don't
system.
Know the Dewey Decimal System.
We got computers now, brother. So anyway, guys,
we got computers now.
We got some.
You
got
put
some
a drama
flyers.
Book in the comedy section. What are you crazy?
It's like putting me in a wackadoo drama. It's on the comedy.
You can't put the Bible in the fiction section.
Yes, you can. I'm sorry. I don't get religious.
Hot take.
Here. What are we, political podcast? Like all Flyers Twitter. Anyway, guys, we have some interesting tidbits. Not really. Apparently, Vandevelde doesn't look like he's re-signing.
No,
yet.
He's coming back. He's going to be
God.
An assistant coach. Riley Cote's job.
That wouldn't bother me too much.
Oh,
also,
my God, yes, it would.
We had a couple entry-level contract signings with last talk. Last time we did, we had Nolan Patrick signed.
The Flyers have locked down most of their high draft picks.
Yeah, so we got Isaac Radcliffe, which was the second-round selection. That was the big-ass dude.
Yeah.
That saw at the training camp. And also, we got other first-round pick, thanks to Braden Schenn being traded, Morgan Frost signed.
I'm excited to see Morgan Frost. There's a lot of buzz around him.
This basically means nothing because if you have a high draft pick, you're going to sign him to an entry level deal. Even ones that like don't get drafted or drafted in seventh round.
Plus, you don't even know when you're going to see him or when his deal is going to start. You know,
because Jim Cipolla wants to see you
in
the
Kia.
And then that's what we call the
unofficially,
Kia
officially the sponsor.
Ah, nice. We actually say that now. People listen to the 100th episode. They know about the old jokes. We can bring them all back. Wait till you hear our more wacky shock jock humor. Oh, wow. It's going to be crazy, people.
Have they announced if, was it Korosenkov?
Korosenkov.
Yeah, he was like a camp, if he's going to be a camp invitee or not.
I have no idea. I haven't seen anything about
Korosenkov? That. Korosenkov?
Yeah, he was some dude that like was undrafted that went to... the development camp that everybody was saying, oh, he's probably going to get invited to a training camp this year because he like looked really good.
Did he happen to be at the trial on the Isle?
I don't think I saw. I used to have a thing in front of me, but now I don't.
What position did he play? Oh, Ivan Korosenkov?
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't find it. Kosarenkov.
That's why. Sorry.
Dude,
I only saw his name like once.
That's okay. It's all right. You're allowed to. I didn't really hear anything else about him, to be honest with you. Only headlines I see from him are him attending rookie camp, but I don't see anything else.
Okay.
So I guess not. Maybe it's still up in the air as a tryout contract or just to show up at training camp. Who knows? But, yeah. These are all prospects you won't see for years.
The Flyers went from not having forward prospects to having a lot of forward prospects.
They have a lot of every prospect.
Yeah.
Even goalie, they have at least like two or three.
Good work. Remember when everyone wanted to fire Hextall in the beginning of the season?
Dude, everybody still wants to fire Hextall. Where have you been?
Oh, no, I thought that stopped.
Either you fire Hextall or you trade Giroux, or in my case, both.
Well, I would trade Giroux because he's on the downslope.
Yeah. That's why they want to fire Hextall.
You're on the downs slope.
Because they gave Shane Gostisbehere a terrible contract, according to everybody.
He did.
Sean Couturier also has a terrible contract. They signed Dale Weiss. Jake Voracek has a terrible contract.
That's true. He does.
Hope
he doesn't Google us and then block us.
Who else signed?
And to think I almost missed doing this with you guys. We're doing this again? The fan fiction.
Yeah, you're
I thought a couple weeks off.
Right before this started, Drew's like, I'm really excited to do an episode this week. Guess again.
I had a great time. By the way, I should have said earlier, we have a good buddy of mine, and if you're a local Sixers fan or a Philly sports fan, you may have read stuff on Liberty Ballers. Kyle Newbeck will be joining the show tonight, calling in after trying to get him
calling
on the show.
In live.
Since we started, actually, because me and him go way back to college, so I'm looking forward to having him on here to talk maybe other sports, but other things, who knows. But I was just in New Orleans for a week, so I just am well-rested, ready to go with the podcasting.
Can I jump in here?
Sure. You want to pause the game?
No, I don't have the Gamp anymore, asshole.
God.
What hot take do you have?
What'd you
for
just
us,
say? I don't go Gamp anymore. Asshole. What
it's not a hot take, but have you noticed who
it's
they...
It's a hot cake. Pancakes.
No, have you noticed who they hired to replace Timmy P as the Flyers reporter?
John Bork.
Yes, what?
And he's been just as bad.
God damn it.
Or maybe worse.
His latest headline, Flyers need more offense this season, .. After all, they're paying for it. Yuck.
Oh, no.
They were doing...
I wish I got...
Can I put in a request for where North Korea should bomb next?
I wish I got what John McCain has, because god damn it.
John Bork and his tie factory should
they
be
were doing,
the first strikes.
Like, CSN does, like, end-to-end is what they call it, and they pick out...
Oh, the centipede.
They pick out, like... Like, I don't know, different positions to analyze over the offseason, I guess, or whatever.
Anal size.
Human centipede again.
And, and all of the art, so it's like the four guys, I guess, that are on that staff, they all write what their opinion is.
Right, yeah.
And every single one of John Bork's has been awful.
Just counterculture. Just counterculture
absolutely
to
terrible.
Be counterculture.
Yeah, just...
I love watching him during the post-game live or intermission report. He's like, wait, so now the Flyers in this. Do we see this? And Bill Clement's like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. The Flyers still are a good team. Like, he always just goes like doom and gloom scenario or whatever. Just makes this bullshit.
Yeah,
and Bill Clement just doesn't want to call him out, but he shakes his head no. His mustache quivers. Like, yeah, I don't see it happening. The Flyers really got to focus on this down the stretch, so those things. You know?
My favorite was somebody called him out for a stupid jerk combinations, and he's like, yeah, because... That makes my hockey opinion mean less.
Unless the guy has a $400 suit. Come on. Come on. So, have you guys ever been in New Orleans?
No.
They don't have a hockey team there. But
I heard it smells like vomit.
Yeah, Bourbon Street was a shit show.
They hose it down every night, right?
Did you go to the bar rescue place that was there?
No, I did not. Maybe I did.
Big mistake.
What's it called?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I may have been there.
I think it's Resurrection.
So
like
everyone I was working with, the first real night we were there, like we went out for a couple of drinks after we did this tour thing, and they all left because I was there for a work conference. And I stayed on Bourbon Street from 10 o'clock till 5 in the morning by myself. And I made so many friends. You know how hard it is when you walk out of a strip club and you have to call your bank because your ATM card got shut down and how embarrassing it is and you're drunk at 2 in the morning?
Wait a second.
And you go back to go fulfill the deal you made that the ATM in the strip club with the $15 surcharge wasn't working and it's closed. So you go to the other one, they rip you off, and you have to drink a whole bottle of champagne and walk to home, and then like you
Hold
sleep
on.
For 2 hours, and you go to class, you throw up during class, and then you go home and take a nap second half of class.
How many times did you take money out of the $15 surcharge ATM in the strip club for them to flag your account?
Just once. I tried a second time.
And that,
there was a bidding war.
Wait, you actually
took
the money?
A bidding war.
You took the money out originally
from that and another ATM, yeah, because I used it. I used the ATM two times in New Orleans at this point. They probably thought someone stole my card. It was unauthorized.
Right. Did you
use.
Call the bank and tell them you were going to be traveling?
No, I did not, because I usually use my ATM. However,
yeah, that's why.
Drunk Drew and saw big neon lights. He.
Naked lady boys.
No, it's pastrami sandwiches, I promise.
Penis this way.
Did I say strip clubs? I went steak clubs.
Delis. Excellent.
But I got some good food down there. I highly recommend the World War II History Museum down there is the tits.
Nerd.
In the history, go check it out. A lot of cool shit down there. Talk about killing Nazis, killing the Japanese. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. And I wish I could tell you guys the whole story, but this might is recorded for... you know, quality call purposes.
Yeah.
I really don't feel like having it out there.
Why
so.
Would you want to shame yourself now? After
maybe we should make a we should make one of those Patreon subscriber things.
Yes.
Just like have inside looks to my debauchery. I get it on a daily basis.
The inside stories, what you didn't get on the podcast,
the illegal things Drew did.
I put my dick in a coconut.
Sitting on a chair with only a 250 weight limit. That's awful. Yeah. So anyway.
I can't wait. So wait, hold on. What was the bidding war about?
I was trying to rush through this so you wouldn't ask questions.
Were you trying to see like which one of them would eat nacho cheese out of your belly button?
In a roundabout way.
Excellent.
It wasn't really. It was more of a haggling, saying I don't have that kind of
money.
Also,
I feel like at a strip club,
I'll do it for this.
At a strip club, you just want to go and take out all the money you can at once. That's why you only get hit with the fee one time.
Well, I had some money on me from other just a couple bars that had cash only. And then I went to this place on the walk by on a whim. After I made friends with a bouncer, gave me a bunch of VIP cards, and there's one expensive one. But I stopped the one where a girl pulled me, and I thought she was a hostess, but no, because she dressed kind of nice. And then all of a sudden, I realized, that's like a big robe, and she's I couldn't tell if she was more of a stripper or a prostitute.
Probably
she sat me down. A waitress served me a beer for like $12, and I sat there, and she like brought me upstairs. And all of a sudden, I'm like, this looks like the haunted house from what was that movie with Nicole Kidman.
The
Skeleton Key.
What? Oh no,
the one with the one down like south with the Skeleton Key, and like I don't know if you ever saw.
I only remember the others
it.
Where she's like, "I am your daughter," and it's fucking they're all ghosts.
What was she like?
I am your daughter.
God damn it! So yeah, I think she was more of a hooker than a stripper.
Yeah, probably. I mean, she probably did both.
Yeah,
she double majored in college.
I think she would have. Very,
hooking and stripping.
Nice, skinny.
Grade A
Nubian princess
sweater puppies.
They were all right. She was like a skinny, like track athlete.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I was in the mood for some dark chocolate that night. But anyway, moving on. So I think before we get Kyle's going to be calling in soon. We're going to take a break when that happens. We got a voicemail in between the huge break we had.
We did.
So we have not recorded a real show since the first week of episode 100.
Yeah.
The first part, because we had the pod fest and we released the second
a little part. Inside baseball, we did part one and part two back to back,
dude. That's a Patreon subscribers. We would have like two.
That's
Patreon
what you're
going to
get if you pay for it.
We'd make Joe subscribe as a pledge, bitch. I'm sure like someone nice like Leonard or somebody would, maybe somebody else, but anyway, this is I heard this once when it first got to the voicemail. I haven't listened to it since, and I just want to point out I see a theme coming on these voicemails, and it's very unbecoming of you fans. So clean up your fucking act. Or I'll ban you. You hear me? You heard?
He doesn't know how to do that.
Are you fucking kidding me? Watch this. Do I want to ban Jeff right now? It's called Lower Than Mine. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it. Anyway, this is a voicemail from some idiot.
Yo, Broad Street Bully. This is Eric Haney at EricHaney14 on Twitter. Thanks for making me Tweet of the Week some episodes back. I have 3 points to make. One. Nolan Patrick's face infection almost definitely means that he got mouth therapies from Sheena Parveen. Two, to go backwards a bit, the general Philly opinion on the whole JVR and Patrick Kane crap is ridiculous. JVR has developed into a stable and reliable point scorer, and we let him go. That being said, I like the direction we're heading in. And three, my last point might be my most controversial. I've looked at the stats, I've thought about it, and debated a lot of my friends about where I stand, but after much consideration, I finally decided that it actually needs to be said. So here it is. Fuck you, Drew.
Shut up,
buddy. You motherfucking spineless fuck. I'm on a keyboard and a phone.
I like point one though, because a lot of the jokes were that he got like some sort of disease from eating butt.
Okay, so you think it's. Anything with butt or farts, Jeff just like left.
Do you think that Sheena Parveen would bang young-faced Nolan Patrick?
Do you think Nolan Patrick would wind up banging Sheena Parveen, that DC traitor?
It's true. She is a traitor. I realized that like Instagram had logged me out of my own personal Instagram. So like when I logged back in, I saw updates from Sheena, and I was like, oh, it hurts.
Oh, because it was on the BSB podcast.
Yeah, Instagram. It was on. I still follow her on my personal Instagram, so I saw all of her pictures, and it made me sad. And then there was ones of her feet, and the dudes were all just like, yeah, I want to put my wiener really between weird. Those toes.
She keeps posting them?
Yeah. She keeps posting pictures of her feet, and dudes are like,
I want to put my dick in them toes.
Yeah, you don't put it on Instagram. You just save them to your computer and whack it off later. These fucking weirdos.
So yeah, a lot of people post uncomfortable feet. We've talked about this before, but like it's gotten worse.
I know,
yeah.
Like
she has a whole new market.
It's even, but it's even like even if it was like boobs or like ass, people like you still don't post that shit.
No, and some of the comments people put on there are super creepy.
I know, and like it's almost like they're justified having those kinds of people be on SVU as like murderers or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh, as we were saying about John Bork earlier, okay. I found the article.
Big tie.
There's he quotes the quote where Drew said. Your mind doesn't your mind wants to do something, but your body doesn't do it. It's frustrating. Then he writes that tells me the dynamic part of his game that we came to expect and admire for much of his career is perhaps no longer there, and he's searching for a way to reinvent himself.
Is this some fucking shitty blogger? Yes.
John Bork's the worst.
Really, that whole quote is completely out of context because that was literally what he was talking about when he was relating to his goddamn hip injury that he was.
It's sad that like he has kids in a family and like all his kids just go.
They
haven't
been murdered.
No, they just go on the internet and it's just everything about your dad is that he sucks.
Good, Jeff. Can you do a little role play me real quick to act this out? I think I have to get my thoughts on this. You're gonna be John Bork,
okay,
and I'm gonna be Drew. Okay. All right. All right. So, John, is that really what you think about Claude Giroux?
Yeah. I'm John Bork. Ick.
Fuck! Sorry, Jonna. I had a slight stroke.
Sorry, I have a stutter. I was slight
stroke. Is that really what you think, John?
Yeah, I think that's what.
What you think?
Dang, I'm going to go not match my shirt and tie now.
Stupid second. Yeah. Fuck you, John Bork. See, I feel better now. Okay, thank you, Jeff. I thought you were the best role player on the team. You really needed that. But wait, can we get back to the voicemail?
I had a slight stroke.
I made this podcast so we could all hate on Jeff. That's the whole reason behind it. The flyer thing was all a facade. Why do they hate me? What do I do?
I don't know.
I pour my heart and soul out for these kids. These
probably
pups.
It. I want to say it's your.
Do you think
Brando
this is
impression.
The same person that told you to fuck you the first time?
Oh, maybe.
Or is this an actual?
That's a much better connection on the second call.
Or is this
then?
A second caller who obviously listened to the first time you got? Told to fuck yourself.
You know what I'm thinking, Doyle?
Well, then it's the third person to tell Drew to fuck himself, though, because it's the random person who didn't leave a name, Sean, and now Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean did, too?
Yeah. In his song, he talked about how...
Oh, I wasn't here for that.
My thigh thighs.
Yeah, but he also talked about you being an idiot and Doyle having sugar diabetes.
I know,
so.
But you were included.
Sugar diabetes.
Got the sweetness.
But Doyle, I think it might be the same person. You know what I'm thinking? Blue Rose. Thinking Blue Rose, but
Jeff doesn't know.
I don't know who Blue Rose is.
Okay, Joe Walker somewhere is shaking his head. Yes, he's on some tea. And somebody else that watches Twin Peaks. But anyway, anything else before we got Kyle's going to call
Twin
in.
Peaks.
I want to keep him on hold the whole time. So we're going to have Kyle Newbeck coming on the show in just a second. Until then, enjoy the lovely sounds of the comedy devil, Josh Carter.
Wow! Thanks for listening to the Broad Street Bullies podcast. We're coming at you live with you guessed it, hockey vibe. Stay tuned. That ice is cold. It's freezing cold, baby. Get on that puck. Let's do it.
All right, guys, we're back, and that was the great sounds of Josh Carter bringing you back here from a little break on episode 102 of the Broad Street Bully podcast. And we have a special guest, a good friend of mine, old friend and buddy of mine from Liberty Ballers, the writer. You've ever read their blog, Sixers fans out there. Kyle Newbeck joins the show, Skyping in, so hopefully this works the whole time. But Kyle, what is going on, my old friend, my old drinking buddy, my old get into trouble and not tell anybody about it friend? How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten scummy in a long time, but doing good, man. For pretty much all sports other than football preseason, it's pretty dead right now. So I guess it's a good time for you and I to talk because we used to make a lot of dead people jokes.
We still do, just maybe a little bit as separate as we used to. But yeah, this is the time of year we call summer series on the show where really it's a shit show. Last summer it was like Tinder stories and eating stories. the summer. It's not Tinder stories, strip club stories, and eating stories. I mean, it's getting weird over here. So, but yeah, man, we're glad to have you on the show, man. Been trying to have you here for a while.
I saw you guys. You guys were in the. I wanted to come when you guys were doing the whole Philly podcast thing, but I work a lot of weekends and my hours are all janky. So now we can finally scum it up.
Well, there was no room in the building. We had a sold-out crowd of 30,000 minus 30,002 people. It was amazing. I thought we had a bigger turnout because of last year, but I mean, really, I'm surprised it could even fit us in the building there. It was so much breathing room.
It's true.
Did you bring enough koozies for the whole group?
Or? Oh, yes. We were giving them out to random people on other shows, and we did this last year, too. Other shows that would go on the show were, like, drinking beer during their show. So all the pictures of them doing their show on the Philly Podfest Twitter was our Broad Street Bully podcast cans. We're just great self-whores.
Free promotion, man.
Yeah. Dude, take it however you can get it.
That's what Jeff's motto.
I understand that.
It's better the better.
And I know you are not a man to shy away from a koozie. That is,
yes.
After having lived with you earlier in our lives, I think I've seen about a couple dozen koozies of yours at one point or another.
Yeah, I just put a box in like near the door. Like, all right, come on and have a koozie, because we just kept them in there. We lived together in college, so I don't think there's stories we should really tell. Holy shit. But yeah, man, I figured, so Liberty Ballers, like, so what have you been doing with that and everything? I know we've talked about it personally, but I'll let everyone know about what you've been doing there and other stuff you got going on, because we do have some crossover Philly fans here. It's not all just hockey nuts. I know we have some Sixers fans, and Doyle is our resident Sixers knowledgeable person. That's his official title.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of it was just some of the stuff you and I used to do when we would hang out and just bullshit around about sports, whether that's bandwagon fans with the Phillies, whether that's what goalie should be starting for the Flyers. It was just a lot of when we first started or when I first started at LB, it's a lot of just sort of ranting and raving and op-ed type stuff. Like, you know I'm not shy about my opinions, but no. In the last – no, me? Yeah, so in like the last year or so, I would say we've sort of been transitioning into doing more like running it more of a news operation. So that's opened up a lot more opportunities for us in that, like, I'm going to have, I think, fingers crossed, and hopefully they don't revoke this for coming on your podcast. I should have full season credentials this year. So I'll be able to go down to all the games. I'll be at training camp.
You better blur your name out.
Yeah.
No, they won't. They won't take you off for this. Don't worry. We only said like fuck two times this episode.
See, no, about that, we just got to make sure we keep the stories to a minimum.
Don't worry. I already spilled my guts. I'll do all the time. I'm at the point like, oh yeah, become a legit news source, a Broad Street Bully. Nah, I want to tell my hooker stories too much.
How my car got flagged at a strip club.
Shut up, Jeff. That was really
no, and it, like, we're in a good spot because we're still technically new media. So like, we can get away with stuff that the newspaper beat writers and those guys either can't or refuse to do because they have no stones.
Like, I'll write a story that actually has a journalistic integrity to start on bullshit. We were just shitting on John Boric earlier and all the CSN Philly guys. Right. I'm not asking you to make a comment, but
all those guys, and without getting into any specifics, but certain people have to protect whoever is either giving them access or feeding them information, whatever, because otherwise they don't have anybody to get it from. So they're a lot slower on the draw when it comes to actually offering some legit critique. So I'm hoping now that we'll have our presence there, I'll be able to not rely on them for quotes and to ask actual questions, number one, but I'll be able to add that on top of actually doing the news type stuff. So I'm excited for it.
Nice.
But the one thing that sucks, I know, like, you and I used to watch, or you watch more hockey than I do, certainly. But because I've been so into the basketball thing the last few years, I have like very minimally watched anything other than basketball, really, because it becomes almost 365 day a year thing, whether it's watching college hoops, watching Sixers on a given night, watching national games for like whatever stories I'm writing at the time. So I feel like so out of the loop. Like, I'll sometimes just check in on the Flyers, whether that's like casually watching it or going through box scores and shit. And I think of when we were growing up watching like the Legion of Doom and all that shit, and guys were scoring like 50 goals a year easily. And now you might have like a couple 40 goal scorers. And like, to me, it's like the league is like a totally different fucking entity than even when I stopped watching, which is crazy to think about.
It's definitely different, but you only watch the birds, man. You can't fit in time for Sunday football.
Yeah, well, so I watch the birds for sure. The one thing is, because I was working at WIP for a couple years doing like behind the scenes stuff, it was almost all Eagles and Phillies all the time because we're the rights holders for them. Yeah, you know that because I'm sure you'd like them.
That's one of the reasons why this show exists.
Yeah, right. Like outlets of that, like that, to talk more about hockey, which I totally get. Like, there should be more balance, but that's, I mean, they have the rights to those teams, so they cover them the most. And also, so because I worked there, that was just a lot of following them closely.
And also, all the unemployed people that call in, like, hey, what's up? Because we always use Jerry from Port Richmond as an example. They don't watch hockey. Like, so you really think this Kevin Cobb guys are bringing Super Bowl? I really think we should buy tickets now, man. I know it's August, but there's always those guys, and they don't want to talk about the Eagles.
Oh my God, they had a poll, I think, like last week or something.
Were they sitting on it?
Where they asked if the Eagles would go to the Super Bowl or something this year, and it was like 30% of people thought that they could go to the Super Bowl this year. There's no such thing as tempered expectations in Philadelphia.
No, and then like I've seen that firsthand with the Sixers stuff too. It's obviously at a way lesser level than anything involving the Eagles, but they get the number one pick again this year, and it looks like they'll have three like really good young players, and everyone's like, they're going to win 50 games. They're going to be the fourth or fifth seed. It's like, dude, can we see them play a game together first before we put them in the playoff picture?
Yeah, Sixers look pretty good, though, huh? Like this Markel Fultz guy. What's your thoughts on him? Because I really don't know. I mean, Doyle's told me some stuff, but I know you cover the team pretty closely. Like, I hear a lot about him. As you know, I'm not a huge basketball fan. I kind of stopped watching the Sixers when Matt Geiger was gone. So,
American hero, Matt Geiger.
The double knee brace.
Him and the pinball wizard, Tom McCullough. Those guys for the front line of our dreams. Fultz is, I mean, honestly, even amongst basketball people, Fultz is a bit of a mystery because he played out in the West Coast, so games are starting at 10 o'clock. A lot of people just, frankly, aren't staying up that late, aren't watching the fucking Pac-12 network or whatever the hell they call it now. But he's really good, and he fits alongside. Like, they needed a guy who can shoot that plays next to Joel, that'll play off of Joel Embiid. He can do that. He can handle the ball. He can score. He can set up his teammates. So I think they feel like he's going to be able to do a little bit of everything for them, sort of plug and play wherever they need him. He can play both guard spots. So they're really excited about him. They should be, because they gave up another pick just to trade up to get him. So it would be classic Philly if they traded up to get the guy who was the consensus number one prospect in the draft, and then it turns out somebody got a better player below them. But hopefully that's not the case this time.
Kyle, I have a question for you, because my friends and I got in a debate this weekend. Would you trade Ben Simmons and Dario Saric for LeBron James for one season, which would be this upcoming season?
So I would say no, only because, and I'm not just being like a homer here, I think there's at least a partial chance they could get him outright in free agency next year. At least talking to people around the team, their big thing going into next summer is they want to have the 35% of their cap available to go get a max guy. Mm-hmm. And they already have connections to LeBron through him and Ben Simmons have the same agent. They've worked out together this summer. They're going to have J.J. Redick here this season, that he's sort of the veteran bridge to the next step they're going to take. So he'll be a guy. He's got a lot of friends around the league where he'll talk to people and they'll start hearing things about how they're running things in Philly. They got the new practice facility, which is really nice. I've been there quite a few times in the last 6 months or so. And so it's like really like a more professional organization now. Like, I'm sure you guys have never been there, but they used to practice at the gym at PCOM, like the osteopathic medicine college.
Oh, wow.
And they're basically sharing this court with a bunch of students. So you'd see these 7-footers walk into the gym, and then there's this like fucking dorky kid with glasses walking by, like trying to get shots up. And the guys had they had to specifically schedule out blocks of time just to be able to to go to the gym, whereas now they have the facility open to them pretty much 24/7. They have a chef there all the time. They have all kinds of trainers, anything you can ask for. So I wouldn't really trade any of the young guys until we get to see them, first of all. So, no, I would not do that.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is, like, just Golden State is too good right now.
Yeah, they're a buzzsaw. They're just going to destroy everybody. So I think the move for now is just to stay patient.
Yeah.
Kyle, about your thing about the training facility. I mean, I knew they didn't practice like at their own facility, but I'm not a huge basketball guy, as I've said multiple times tonight and also my whole life. But I think it's just a disgrace they didn't have a facility for that long.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. I mean, like, you're asking guys who are professionals and celebrities on some level that their whole craft is they have to physically train to play, and they had no actual like team-centric home to do that in. And really, like, ideally they would have their own arena, because the Flyers definitely get precedent in the arena they're sharing now, because they've always been the more, I don't want to say the more important team, but at least when Snyder was in charge of things, they definitely were higher.
Yeah, because he owned Comcast Spectacore, so just that's the way it worked. I think it was a good move also, someone else buying the Sixers and the whole ownership changing, because they actually could focus on one thing.
They've definitely gotten more attention. So, yeah, I mean, I think one of the big shifts beyond just the rebuild has been running the organization more professionally and with more care, because, like, I don't want to dump too much on the Flyers people, but it was like a second fiddle thing with them. So it's better for both sides that they don't have to pretend that they care about the Sixers beyond hosting them for games. And now the Sixers people have their own, just their own digs that they can go to and host everybody and practice and all that.
And beautiful waterfront of Camden. I've walked by the facility while I was being built. I go to concerts there all the time.
It's going to be nice now.
I'm saying, like, that's going to bring in some money for the city too. Yeah. So it's probably a pretty good thing for the whole area. The waterfronts are the only place I'd walk after dark.
Yeah, because the River Sharks moved out, so the Sixers moved in.
Yeah, that's a huge upgrade. The River Sharks, wow.
Yeah, your minor league baseball team with 7 people in the stands.
Hey, they have a dollar dog night every night of the year. It's not that bad if you go there drunk.
I just remember I went to a River Sharks game for like $3 because Rutgers used to give out free tickets, and it was the year after the Phillies won the World Series, and you're like, starting at third base, Pedro Feliz. And I was like, whoa, how far are you falling?
Former Golden Glove, right?
Yeah. Like, man, you stink now.
That's okay. I mean, we still had, thank God Matt Stairs didn't go that low.
Right?
The bad.
No, dude, that would have been a tragedy.
Canadian power.
He was too busy just, like, chugging beers and killing, like, I don't know, elk.
And looking like you.
Shut up.
That's true. He does kind of look like you, which you both kind of look like fatter Stone Colds. So.
Yeah, but you look like a real asshole, Jeff. How about that? How about that?
What? Dang. Dang.
A real asshole.
Shut up, Jeff.
Dude, I still watch that Matt Stairs home run every once in a while against the Dodgers, where he just
The 08 NLCS, right?
I'm trying to get pumped every night of drinking.
The legend of Matt Stairs.
I drank Molson a couple times after that just because of Matt Stairs.
Yeah.
I used to drink American beer. I was like, you know what? I feel like I need to thank the Canadian gods of lumber.
Tribute. Yeah.
Yeah. The legend of Matt Stairs always lives on,
the
man.
The Canadian Norse gods.
Hell yeah, man. So, Kyle, you haven't really followed the Flyers much at all, dude, so you haven't really missed too much.
Yeah, you did miss a lot.
We can give you a little quick rundown. We didn't make the playoffs except for 1 year. And that made everyone mad. This year we didn't make it because all of a sudden the Flyers were supposed to win the Cup because they had a couple of young guys that played well.
Yeah, they made the playoffs by accident the year before, and now this.
The impression I got was that they sort of overachieved in Hakstol's first year, and then this year, because they didn't live up to whatever trajectory they were on,
yeah,
people lost their goddamn minds.
Yep. It's strange that you got that based off of
yeah,
because everybody else seems to have missed that.
Yeah, because if you could have seen what I was doing when you said the word overachieved, I praised to the clouds of the God I don't believe in. I was just like, yes, Lord, like, please preach, man. Like, that's what we've been preaching that ever since beginning of last season, before they even missed the playoffs or lost or won a game. And it's just been rough with the whole the Flyers, the Twitter's just a cesspool of nothing. I hate it.
And I spend entirely too much time on Twitter at the same time. Like, I curse that goddamn website and that app on a regular basis, but it's most of the reason that I even have a career.
Exactly,
I think,
man. So. As I'm saying, like, it's, I mean, obviously you're doing more of the writing thing. We're doing more of the podcasting thing. It's just you need it, though, to push forward, like, you know, your stuff. People can, like, interact and connect with the show. We've got a lot of followers, new listeners, just because of tweeting during games. I mean, like, right. Tweeting, interacting with fans. Like, you have, like, some cool people you talk to or make jokes, riff on stuff. That's fun. Then you go down your timeline and read other shit. You're like, oh, why am I on here? Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, there's really not that much, like, good use for it anymore. I just hate everybody.
Yeah, 2017, you, like, can't escape it. It's I want to. Like, even when I went on vacation with my family a few weeks ago, and I was trying really hard to just avoid social media the entire time, or, like, just technology in general the whole time. But the Sixers were playing Summer League, so I, like, stopped at a bar while we're out on the way back from the beach and stuff. And I'm watching the game, and Markel Fultz he twisted his ankle.
Oh, God,
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I go on Twitter, and you would have thought, like, the Pope got murdered or something.
It's just, I thought someone shot him from the grassy knoll.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude, it was...
I just heard about that.
Yeah, so all I did was I deleted the app from my phone for a week and said, you know what? I just can't do it.
I take it as a big man to do that. I'll do the text-to-tweet thing. That way, it really ain't, I have to make sure it counts if I'm going to do the text-to-tweet.
Yeah, that's actually probably a much better solution, because I can feel connected without actually being connected.
Yeah, and the Flyers, we have a lot of young defensive prospects, as we've had the last couple of years, that are finally starting to bloom a little bit. And a lot of forward prospects, too, for, like, the first time since probably the Jeff Carter and Mike Richards days. So it's looking pretty bright. We have some good goalie prospects. So the Sixers and Flyers are on a very similar track in different sports of having a lot of young talent available, thanks to a couple getting high picks, I think. And I don't know, man. It should be good for those two teams. The Phillies, I don't know.
Yeah, they are fucking dreadful. I did watch a lot of them only by necessity, because I used to – part of what I would do when I worked at WIP was – cut up the sound for Phillies games, so it was turning any possible highlight into usable audio, and it turns out there haven't been a whole lot of highlights the last couple years, so it was really like grasping at straws, and I had to hear every excuse in the book for all the prospects that underachieved, and just it hasn't been a whole lot of fun watching that team. But a night at the ballpark's still fun, so I mean, if you can go down, eat a shitload of hot dogs, I'm all in.
Oh, hell
for that.
Yes. I got to go to a suite last week. I was just saying earlier with my mom got tickets from her work, and she brought me, and it was all the beer in the fridge. I kept refilling the beer. They kept refilling the food. And I may have watched like three innings, and they won. They crushed the Astros. It was crazy. So I got to see a bunch of home runs and eat a bunch of food and drink a bunch of beer on the house.
Hell yes.
So it was pretty nice. But what are your thoughts on, I haven't really talked about the Eagles, dude. What about the Carson? Are you a part of Wentzylvania? You on the Wentz wagon?
Yeah, I mean, I like Carson. I think he, as far as what he did last year, again, I think it was similar to a similar arc to the Flyers, I guess I would say, where like he came out and overachieved that first few games relative to what he probably should have done or could have done. And like, if he replayed those games over and over again, I don't know that he has those same performances. But like, on balance, for a rookie who wasn't really expected to start right away, who they were going to let him sit for a while, learn the offense, take his time, for him to be thrown into it like that and play as well as he did, like, I think that speaks pretty highly of his natural talent and like his dedication to learning the playbook, doing all that. And like, I mean, if you talk to any of the guys on the team, or you don't have to talk to them necessarily, just listen to the interviews they give, all of them rave about him as a leader, as an intangible guy. He's definitely got the physical talents and the physical tools to get it done. So, I mean, everything is in place for him to be a successful quarterback. And they went out and got, despite the fact that he's like the permanent glass man, Alshon Jeffrey, he's by far better than any receiver they've had in a while, even before Wentz. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I hope they just go, like, even if they go like 8-8, 9-7, like maybe that's pushing it, because they do have competition in the division and a lot of young guys. It's like, it's a team in transition, so I'm not expecting much. I just want to see progress from him, less drops from the receivers. And like, I'm at a point with football where I have a lot more fun with it than I used to. I used to just like stress me the hell out. Like,
oh, I know.
I watch plenty of games together.
We spent so many Sundays.
Scream at that damn TV way too much.
Remember the huge, like, big warm embrace we held during the Miracle of the Meadowlands 2 when Deshaun ran that thing back?
Dude, I almost left.
I did.
Multiple times.
It was the last day before this game. It was right before Christmas. It was end of college for the break. We were staying the weekend to have some friends over and party. And a couple of my friends were visiting from where I lived. And you and your friend were to go back to where you lived. We're like, oh, we should all leave. Like, yeah, it's not looking good. Like, no, just wait it out. And all of a sudden, one score, quick score. Like, oh, dude, we'll hang out. And then at the end, we're all going, go down. Wait, he's running. Jump. We're jumping. We're all Meryl Reese. It was amazing.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. And that, like, you summed it up perfectly. That all I could remember is screaming at Deshaun to fall on the football as soon as he dropped it. And then he's off to the races, and it's like, well, I look like a fucking idiot now. Jeez.
I'm so glad we didn't go home, man. That was like the perfect way to end that semester. It was like, we stopped and got some pizza on the way. I went home and was like, the Eagles beat the Giants. That was amazing. That was one of the best, like, one of my favorite sporting moments of all time. So, yeah, we watched a lot of games together, dude, a lot of weeks. So it was like, well, at least we have some good food on the grill for later. They're not going to look too good this week. And that was when we still thought they could have won. We were right in the post-McNabb era where Cobb was supposed to step in and just, like, take us to the promised land. How stupid were we? We were fucking idiots.
Yeah. Dude, I also remember us splitting quite a few of those Pizza Hut big boxes where they gave you
yes.
a shitload of pizza, breadsticks, wings. I don't even remember what else, but Squido always used to abandon us on Sundays. He's Mr. Oh, we got to go to the library.
We're going to work, yeah. I wonder, it's amazing, like, you know, when you think about what I did in college, like, oh, Drew, how'd you get so fat? It's like, oh, that's why.
I wonder.
It's a mystery.
Oh, man,
Chipotle meal every Sunday, too. I don't think that helped at all.
The hungover Chipotle meals while listening to Explosive to warm our, like, hungover souls, hearing Nate Dogg sing us into a nice trance.
Chipotle's okay.
No,
just don't get the wrap. Get in the bowl.
What are you? No, I know what you're saying. But Jeff, this is when we were like in our early 20s. We were out drinking all night. We had a bunch of liquor in us. We had to get it all out. It was amazing. And one bathroom. So like,
oh that was always
so
the worst.
When you guys pooped in the sink.
Fucking, my room was right next to
me. Yeah, just like four or five. Like, we had like friends visit for the weekend. We're like, oh, I'll get Chipotle before I leave. Okay. Then all of a sudden it's like, dude, I'm in the hallway. Hurry up.
How's it goes?
There's one point, this is just getting really into bathroom humor, but whatever. We're not above this, as you've seen from the past. The one air freshener now, when I smell it, I can't.
Oh, dude,
it doesn't smell good to me anymore.
I can't do it.
The Hawaiian breeze.
It's the poop breeze. That's all I smell.
It's always just, I remember those days, like, someone had a plug into that at their house, and I smelled it. I was like, it's orange, and I saw it, and I was like, you son of a bitch.
It just, like, all I can smell is diarrhea when someone uses that.
We had a hole in our bathroom floor for like 6 months.
Dude, what a house that place was.
It was the scum dome. It was just a place of, as I said, where fat chicks get laid and dreams are made.
I miss the snow days there. The snow days were fucking great because we could go right across the street and just
get pizza and beer
crank some beers
and watch people fall on the ice in front of us. Everyone's getting a day load on because classes canceled. They're all sliding down the street. One dude across the street slipped Nate's shit down the steps in front of everybody. It was a big fat guy. He made a big ooh sound. Everyone on the street just stopped, and everyone started dying. It was like a record. If there was a record, it would have scratched. It was absolutely one of the most phenomenal things. I feel bad for the guy. He's really nice dude. I've actually seen him like a couple years ago, but it was hilarious.
Are you done?
the funniest part is on Facebook that night, like 2 a.m. when he woke up from his slumber. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, now I do feel sort of bad. That sucks.
It's a nice guy.
So wait, do you know about Meltman?
Oh, dude.
Oh, no, dude. We don't speak his name. We don't.
Oh, that, man.
And dude, I felt really bad for him because he's like falling down. Like the other guy you just mentioned is one thing. That guy was like legitimately... He couldn't go anywhere without people staring at him. It was awful.
I couldn't look at him, dude. And when we're speaking about inside jokes, there was a guy that was like some sort of like I guess a burn victim or something at school, and he used to one time my friend first saw him, he was really high, and so he like scared the crap out of him. And he kept telling us about this guy.
When it was right around Halloween too.
Yeah, he thought it was a mask,
like a costume, and I was like, no, dude, that's a guy that's in my like it's like history of jazz class. He was with, and I had the same thought because I ran into him at like 8 o'clock in the morning when I was half asleep, and it's like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, that's a guy, not a costume, and then I felt bad.
I first saw him my 21st birthday, and I was really drunk, and I was like, oh, thank God I was drunk for that. Then one time he walked in the bathroom, I was walking out, I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? I kept walking. I know it sounds awful to laugh at, but it really was scary. Then a girl I was seeing on Tinder like a couple of years ago, she's like, look at this. She took screenshots of his profile. I'm like, don't show me that. I know that guy. I know who that guy is.
Yeah, like, well, it's awful because it turns into this thing where it's like people turn him into a spectacle, but it's like hard not to. You don't see somebody like that every day, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
it's tough.
It was, and it was so scary, dude. I'm telling you, though, I can't. I'm not trying to like make light of it. It really was just, it was creepy. I couldn't look at it. It was like a car accident. I didn't want to look at it. It was awful. Anyway, yeah.
Salute to that guy. I hope he's doing well with his life.
Yeah, and not anywhere near me.
That's wrong.
No, it's not. It's not anything with him personally. Just my fear level. I had a couple bad acid trips in college. I don't need to go back to, and that probably was one of them. So I don't need to see that ever again. Oh man, shit. Oh, now that we've all been pieces of shit, how about this weather, folks? I mean, it really is crazy out here.
God damn it.
Yeah, Doyle, that's exactly a god damn it.
You the next Hurricane Schwartz over there?
Yeah. I could be.
But the less American one?
Oh, you Oh, Kyle, sorry,
Drew
what's that?
Drew is secretly a comrade.
Kyle, sorry, your phone's breaking up. I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
Sorry. We'll have to go back in the tapes for that.
God damn it.
Kyle, I know you said you haven't really filed the Flyers much, but do you have any thoughts or opinions on the state of Claude Giroux?
I don't think my opinion changed that he's good at hockey. I think people certainly go like fly off the handle on him probably more than might be warranted. Like the thing that I think he's in a tough spot because, like we said, you guys mentioned this, they're a team in transition. And he's still sort of that bridge from a past era. Like he's always been a very good, arguably elite player at times. And then like now he's taken a few hits, he's gotten some concussions, maybe he lost a step, but he's like still tremendously talented, really good power play player, at least when I've watched them play. I don't know if that still holds up.
For the most part.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So like, I just think, he's in a bad spot where, like, because he makes the amount of money he does and because he had a couple seasons where he was, like, legit one of the 3 to 5 best players in the league, the expectations for him are still at that level when you got to dial him back a little bit. Like, eventually it's just – he's just a different player than you're expecting. Like, I don't think that's bad. Like, I don't think he's a bad player by any stretch. He didn't just – go from one of the game's best players to fucking trash like that. So, but that's a very Philadelphia thing, especially when guys get paid, even if they're incumbent guys, but especially if they're free agents that come in from out of town. Once they get that big money, if they're not putting up like absolutely A1 numbers, Philadelphia's going to come for you.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Did that voice cracked oil? Yeah.
You idiot. Well, speaking of Twitter and what we talked about earlier, Claude Giroux.
I hope you're about to say, speaking of voice cracks, and
Claude Giroux
crack right
is
now.
On his decline, and he needs to be traded immediately.
Thanks, Jeff, for that. Nothing. Kyle, to add on to what you said, though, I also think of, although you said those 3 to 5 like, elite players for a couple of years, he definitely was in the running for that, or at least in the conversation. But I also want to make the argument that of all those players that are still playing that level, his team has gotten worse every year.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
You look at, like, the Crosbys and the – obviously, I'm not putting him in the same category. But at time, he could play to the level of those guys, as we've seen in the playoffs. That's why he got the captaincy. You can make the argument for that. But all his teams got worse. I mean, his team got worse compared to everybody else's. Like, Ovechkin got a much better team around him, as you've seen the last couple of years with the Caps. It wasn't just Ovechkin scoring. They actually built around him, and now they're fucked. Sucks to be a Washington fan. And, all yeah, like, the Blackhawks have still always been great because they have that main core. And Giroux needs extra help. We have not had
Blackhawks are in trouble.
We've never had a true second line center since we got rid of like the Richards and Carter era.
Sean Couturier is a second line center.
Shut up, Jeff. Pierre was too old at the time too. Sean Couturier can still score more goals though.
And you guys can speak to this better than I can, but like they've really just have not ever had a guy, and there aren't a ton of them or as many anymore. They've really haven't had just like a A1 goal scorer that like. Give him the puck and he's going to go get you goal. Like Simmons has come on as a goal scorer, but he's not someone that you're like, man, that's a he's a fucking sniper.
The last real sniper we had was Simone Gagné.
Yeah, probably Gagné in his prime. And
his overlay was not in his prime when he played with like Giroux and Briere.
And the problem
he was still good.
But Carter became a pretty good scorer, but after he left.
Because he wasn't.
Because they stopped having to play defense or any defensive responsibility.
He was a third line center when he was here.
I think that's a big part of the problem too. Is like if you have even one of those guys, let alone two, like not even necessarily two elite scorers, but if you have a top level scorer and then a guy right underneath that, like maybe Simmons can be like the second best scorer in that setup. I don't know, but I just feel like that's in any sport. If you have a guy like if you have a dominant wideout in football, that makes the offense easier for everybody. If you have a guy who can score at will in basketball, that makes things easier for everybody. And same thing with hockey. If you have a guy that teams have to have their eyes on every time they're on the ice, that just puts a lot of extra pressure on defenses that I just don't think, at least in my opinion, that the Flyers have had that guy in a long time.
I think we'd all be in agreement there. We've talked about him needing a second-line center or a true scorer.
I think the real problem, like they might have been fine on offense. I think the real problem that started like the decline was that Pronger got a career-ending injury, and then
Pronger. Yeah. Like that guy's an all-time level defenseman. And so like when he's just gone, that's
Their defense wasn't good, and then they traded a bunch of players to get like random defensemen. Like they brought in Paul Kubina and shit, like for
Grossman.
Random.
Yeah,
and like it never quite panned out, and then they didn't have any prospects up front to score, and then they didn't have defense. But now, like, that was that dark period for like the past 5 years. So now it's finally starting to get better.
It was 7 years ago we lost in the finals. Can you believe that? Yeah. I remember, like, it was goddamn yesterday. I'll tell you, it's absolutely
a long ass time ago.
It is absolutely, man. I wish we can go back sometimes and just like say, if we only won two more games. Mm-hmm. If only coach put me in the fourth quarter.
If only we had not Michael Layton.
Only Michael Layton had made a save.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, man. But last but not least, I guess we could bring up before we end the show. We got a good amount of time left. What was I gonna say? Oh, you idiot!
I'll go to something. Kyle, what is your Sixer prediction for this season?
So after I railed on people for making playoff predictions, I do think that they're going to be in the mix, but more towards the bottom of the like that playoff picture. So I think if everything, and no pun intended here, and also knocking on wood, if everything breaks right for them, which certainly you don't want to hear that word with all the injuries they've had, I think they'll probably be around 500. So like 41-41, which would be a pretty seismic leap for them. Like that's a 13 game improvement. But when you consider the fact that they're going to hope to get more games out of Joel Embiid, they're going to get Ben Simmons, who is the best player in last year's draft coming into it. They got the best player in this year's draft. There's just too much talent. Plus they get JJ Redick in free agency, that he's the elite shooter that they needed along with this core. It's almost impossible for them to not take a big leap forward if everyone's healthy. Now, obviously, that's a big caveat, but they should be all right as long as even if one of those guys misses some extended time, they have the guys that they can play with pretty much anyone in the East, not necessarily out West, but almost every star that could have left this summer left the East and went West. So things are certainly trending in a positive direction for them.
Yeah, I feel like there was like at least like four teams in the East that are like on a downswing now.
Yeah, that are like much worse. Like the Pacers lost Paul George, the Bulls lost Jimmy Butler. He's not on their level, but Millsap left the Hawks to go to Denver. So, I mean, there's just a lot of teams that were in the playoff picture before are retooling, and the Sixers are making like a concerted effort to really push for the playoffs this year. So there's a lot of factors outside of even their own roster that are working in their favor.
You say Rasta, man.
Yeah, man.
Why did that flow so well?
Because we used to do stupid shit like that all the time.
Yeah, I lived with this kid for what, 3 years?
We had like no money, so we would just like do stupid shit and get drunk and play video games all the time.
Hey, yeah, whenever it would snow, we'd sit inside and play Call of Duty for like 12 straight
hours.
Yeah,
we're like sophomores and like a couple bottles of booze and beer, and it's like these like cute little freshman girls like, hey, you guys gonna go out? Stop playing video games with our headsets on. We're staying in. Why? Go out to the party. We're moving out next year. We have to afford a house. We're just getting a bottle of Mad Dog and drink that and get no pussy and play Call of Duty, which was much more fun. And then it would snow, and we'd get stuck in our place. It was Double XP weekend, so everyone...
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You can never turn down Double XP. Never. Come on.
Kyle's high school buddies were at Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, and I had, like, Doyle and, like, a couple other people I talked on the show, sure, Shanghai, other people on that have been on here or haven't. We're all play together, so we have, like, a full-man squad.
Oh, my God.
And we would just lay the poop on people.
We did not mess around in those days.
Did you guys start a clan?
No, we just...
We were the dump squad, man.
Yeah, that's right. Based on our good friend Squido's idea of dump. So it's like, oh,
dump squad.
Yeah, really just people listening to the show, just now you see why it all fits. You see why Jeff and I are friends. You see why Kyle's one of my friends. Like, you see where it all comes from. So,
it all connects somehow.
I remember what I'd bring up. I remember that one time we worked for that, like, Philly sports website for, like, a couple months, and it was awful.
Dude, that, like, was...
We all got our start somewhere. There was this... I don't even want to say the name of it, and out of respect.
Yeah, don't say the name.
Well, don't worry. They're not around. They, like, failed right after we left.
Oh, okay, then say the name.
But no, we all went in, and, like, the guy was like, oh, I'm going to write for, like, the Flyers. Like, I'm actually going to write for the Flyers, even though I really like... So I was like, okay. I sent him when Jeff and I used to run our old blog, the Broad Street Bully blog. I'm like, I don't really do this anymore because I've been really busy, but I would like to write from, like, a week or every couple of weeks perspective, or, like, every week, whatever. So, okay, cool. Actually, I'm going to give you the Eagles position, okay? Because I really think... And, like, you were right with the Flyers. You spelled Steve Mason's name wrong. He wrote awful post-game. Like, everything was awful. He tried to do too much. I'm like, hey, you need a Sixers writer. My friend Kyle is a pretty good writer. He's written some stuff before us, back when Kyle, before, did all the Liberty Baller stuff. And holy shit, what a dumpster fire that was.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it went from, like, oh, yeah, I'm working with Wawa to build a partnership and, like, all this stuff to... Yeah, I'm quitting, like, a month into starting the site. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Well, he was like, I'm going to work on my Los Angeles Philly sports version of this, my New York one. We're going to go so big. I'm like, dude, why don't you focus on what you have first?
Right. No, I mean, I will say, like, I give that site credit in that I just started writing publicly, really. Like, I had written for the school paper at Westchester and, like, other BS. But as far as, like, actual blogging, that was the first time I'd really done something like that. And then I used that as a springboard into different things and somehow, some way, find myself where I am today. So despite how much of a clusterfuck
the word
it
Smith.
Was, it ended up working out okay. It was probably better that fell apart.
Yeah, well, they had a Giants fan, a woman Giant. I'm not saying woman part. Like, I'll explain why it's important in a minute. But she was, like, the Eagles reporter. No, let me finish. The reason why it's more just a woman is because the dude that ran it had, like, a really creepy crush on her, would always flirt with her.
Yeah,
and she would always,
like,
flirt with
out
me.
Of bounds with some of the.
It was just, like, gross girl, like, always flirt with me about stuff and email me and got my number and, like, talk to me. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be weird with the one guy. She's like, oh, don't worry, I'd never do anything with him. And I'm like, I don't want to be involved in this. You're gross.
There was, like, some real sexual harassment level stuff going on there, I think.
Yeah, I want to say it was, like, sexual harassment. Like, I mean, yeah, by definition, sure, but it wasn't, like, overtly sexual. It was just, like, creepy, like, oh, you're so,
yeah.
Like, this really, like, desperate, like, douche. Like, Plane's going to prom with me. And then I might add that I left that place in the most epic way possible. With a 2:30 a.m. drunk email to the whole company. Basically saying, go fuck yourself.
Oh, dude, I forgot. I wonder if I still have that in my inbox.
Oh, dude, if you do, you should burn it. Dude, it was, I remember, I got a text from Kyle.
If you do, send that to me.
I'm going to look for it later.
I got a text from Kyle half hour later. He goes, dude, that fucking email, holy shit. I'm like, yeah, is it that bad? He's like, dude, I'm laughing my ass off right now. Because I called him out for being a creep to the girl. I said, like, you're stupid and you think you know everything.
Full ham.
Oh, dude, I told her.
He went.
It was,
like,
mainly the two.
Guns blazing.
It was the two people. And to be fair, people on that website weren't all that bad. There was a couple other people in there that actually wrote decent articles. It was mainly the guy and the girl because they were really the point of contention with me. There was a weird thing. Yeah. I was getting involved in this love triangle and she was being, like, weird to me and, like, always talked. I didn't want to talk to her. He was always openly weird on, like, global chat channels of the whole company kind of thing. And Kyle and I were just writing about the Sixers and Flyers and trying to... Oh, but he gave me the Flyers job once I called him out in his shit, by the way. That's how I knew he was a pussy. And, The Phillies writer was a woman there. She was really good and wrote stuff. Then she backed off to her own thing. So it was just falling apart. It seems they had no contingency plan.
Yeah, she read the tea leaves there with the weirdo who was running things.
Yeah, and then like it was over. And then I went out the only way I knew how because I was really angry at the way it was going because I like literally put all my eggs in one basket. It made me make a new fucking Twitter for it, which I then deleted.
I got drunk and yelled at him on email.
Yeah, you had to make a new Twitter and your old Twitter had Jason Kelce.
He had a bunch of Eagles follow me on my old Twitter. I barely used it anymore because I was I want to help build this thing up because it was like, dude, I'm like, I can help you. I built the Broad Street Bully block. But now here we are. It's fine. But Kyle,
you fucked up your brand, man.
If you do find that if you do find that email, send it to me too because I want to read it and just think about, wow, I should have killed myself a long time ago.
And I will tell you, when I was interning at WIP while I was still in college, I interned with another kid, and he ended up staying on longer than I did because he wanted to, like, I was doing magazine stuff, and he was doing whatever. He just wanted to keep doing radio, and I guess he didn't feel he was being appreciated enough. And he's, like, the thing you sent was to, like, as you described it, this guy was just this, like, weirdo on the internet. This kid sent a very similar but way more in-depth and angry email to, like, the people at the morning show, to like CBS radio all these people. He had like a fucking nervous breakdown and just lost it on all these people. And I sent a text to my boss at the time because the kid mentioned me by name in the email. I texted him and I said, please do not take this as at all coming from me. And this is, I was like, he can say whatever he wants, but please do not associate me with this insanity just because him and I work together. It was bad. Like, he basically got run out of the station after that, and now he's...
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but it's certainly not radio.
I just can't believe... Like, I mean, what I did was one thing, but it was also a thing that was falling apart run by a single guy who was just like...
Right, it meant, like, it meant nothing, ultimately.
I would never do that. I mean, I would do that to Jeff, of course, but... if we were like to break this up, but I mean, I would never do that to an actual place I was working for,
like a real person.
Yeah, like I've worked for pizza. I've quit other jobs like that. I hate it, like a pizza place. I'm like, I know what. Sorry, man, it's not working out for me. Like, good luck with you. I hope you guys do well. It was never ever like, you motherfuckers made me mop and sweep on the goddamn under the table. People didn't do nothing. Blah blah blah. Blah. Like everything else, you know, is just it's stupid. What an idiot. Who the hell would do that?
Fucking idiot.
Absolutely, man. Jeff. Kyle, we're going to close the show call in a minute. Do you want to hang around for the Tweet of the Week segment?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to hear this at all, but I don't know if you know this. But
be prepared to be disappointed.
I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. You should be able to hear this through the call. But Kyle, do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Drew?
Are you sure you want to know what time? Okay, I'll just tell you. I just love doing this part of the show. Okay, I'll just tell you.
It's time for...
Shibadoo bop bop, Tweet of the Week. Yeah.
That's right, everybody. It's Tweet of the Week, the time of the show in the week when you, the listener, or you, the person, doesn't know who exists, but we find your tweets on Twitter and reread them. So without further ado, this week's Tweet of the Week with our very not overproduced at all stinger. Jeff, what do we got for the Tweet of the Week this week, my friend?
Because of our long layoff, I went back in the archives a little bit, and it's a two-part tweet from Tim Reday.
Good friend of the show. Love tweet with him during the season. Miss you, love you, buddy.
His first tweet starts out, the Flyers won't have to worry about Nolan Patrick moving to the wing because he can take Claude Giroux's spot when he gets traded. And then he followed that up with, plus, they won't have any room on the wing after they move Shane Gostisbehere there. So that is your...
How much hate did he get for that?
A lot of people were like, Ghost is a defenseman. And then everybody was like, you missed the joke. So, yes, that is your...
Bibbidoo-bop-bop, Tweet of the Week. Yeah!
Wait for it. Okay, now it's over. Okay, good. We're back.
It's the
that is, like, exactly what I would have expected from you guys.
You know, that's actually an organic thing, too. We just did our 100th episode recently. We were going back on a couple old clips, like memorable moments of the show, and that was just a... We were just going like, Tweet of the Week, Tweet of the Week. And then Jeff did the Skibidoo Bop-Bop thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, do that again. And we did a harmonized version. Then did some editing. And that's where you got it from.
Yep.
Do you think it's too long?
Yeah, I think that's a good length for a Tweet of the Week.
I think it could be longer. I want to add a little jazz horn section in the middle there, the bridge.
Nice solo in the middle.
Dave Matthews Band? Come on.
No, absolutely not.
It's his favorite band.
Shut up. I think it's the time we have to get the hell out of here. Shut up, Doyle. So, Kyle, man, do me a favor. Thank you again for coming on the show, but plug your stuff, man. Tell us where that people can find you online, read you, find you your favorite deli, whatever you want to tell the good people of this podcast.
All right. Well, so I'm just on Twitter at Kyle Newbeck. I'm running the show at Liberty Ballers now. So pretty much everything there you can blame me for, good and bad. So if you have any complaints about any of our Sixers coverage or really anything else, just yell at me rather than anybody else that writes for me, because I'm built for this and they are not. So yeah, that's about it. Other than that, I will have a bit of an announcement coming soon about a radio partnership for the site that I don't want to divulge any more information on yet.
But oh, we'll tell them. The Broad Street Boy podcast and the Liberty Ballers are joining up for an orange, red, blue, black podcast. I don't know. Sorry, Kyle.
Basketball. No, dude, that's what I expected coming on to talk to you. Get my balls busted the whole time.
Big announcement.
Yeah, so just stay tuned for that. And other than that, stay weird, everybody.
All right, guys. So, Kyle, thanks again. And Doyle or Jeff, anything else before we end the show tonight?
No.
All right, Flyers fans. Well, for those of you guys who listen, thank you again for listening. As always, subscribe and like on iTunes and all that shit. Don't forget, August is almost over, kind of, sort of. It'll be Labor Day before you know it. Eagles will be playing. That means we're one step closer to Flyers hockey. And all your angry tweets about Claude Giroux should be traded. So look forward to that, guys. Thanks again to Kyle. Go check our shit out on Liberty Ballers. And we'll see you next week on episode 103 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Jeff's a bitch.
That's rude.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.